Good morning. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 15, as we're studying the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's been a joy to share that with you, and please remain standing as we read together. Chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9 reads this way. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, I can see that our Lord Jesus is on fire when he sees a blatant dishonesty and hypocrisy. Oh Lord, we all, dear Father, have committed hypocrisy in our lives. And I pray, Father, that we'll always be examining our hearts. Lord, that we will not be pretenders. But Lord, may we come now sincerely to hear your word. May we come, dear Father, to be blessed and to be fed by your truth. And now, Lord, I ask that you allow me to be your messenger. And I thank you for this joy and this privilege of sharing your word with your people. Bless us, we beseech you. Speak to our hearts, we ask. Transform us by your truth, we beseech you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Please be seated. As you know, our Lord Jesus Christ had been already rejected by the local authorities. You see the confrontation in Matthew chapter 9 where John the Baptist's disciples come to him and say, "Why don't your disciples fast like us and the Pharisees?" And Jesus began to explain to them, say, "Look, the reason why is because the bridegroom is with them. It's not a time of mourning, it's a time of celebration." And we learn in chapter 12 of Matthew that the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, "Why do your disciples transgress the Sabbath?" Because they're plucking the heads of grain, if you remember. And Jesus began to explain to them that the Sabbath was not, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man, and he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And over again, we learned that they were confronting Jesus. Now they brought in the big guns because they brought in now the Pharisees from the south, from Jerusalem. And we find ourselves now in chapter 15, after he's been already rejected by the local authorities and even called doing miracles by Beelzebub, they call in now the big guns, and we find ourselves now in Matthew chapter 15 and verses 1 through 9. And the issue here has to do with authority and true worship, honoring God versus honoring men. Let me give you the outline here. Most of you have your little things. I'm sorry, Karen, I didn't give you the outline ahead of time. Let me give you the outline here this morning. In verses 1 and 2, we see the confrontation. The confrontation from the Pharisees. In verses 3 to 6, we see the commandment is discussed. And finally, in verses 7 through 9, we see the condemnation. Verses 7 through 9. So let me repeat that. Verses 1 and 2, we see the confrontation. Verses 3 through 6, we see the commandment really being broken and violated. And finally, we see in verses 7 through 9, the condemnation. So those of you that are taking notes, my daughter says, "Dad, you got to go slower on that." So, okay. And so we see our Lord Jesus Christ has already been rejected by the local authority. We see also that he fed the 5,000, showing himself once again that he is the fulfilling prophecy of Moses, especially in Deuteronomy chapter 18. We see that our Lord Jesus is now focusing most of his attention now on his disciples and training them. We saw that when he came to them walking on the sea and he came into the boat, that for the first time we see in Matthew, they worshipped him. We didn't see that before. And they said that truly you are the Son of God. It really began to dawn on the disciples that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. It was a progression, wasn't it? And then we see here in chapter 15, our Lord Jesus, as it doesn't give us a time period, but shortly after that, we see there's another confrontation. This time, it's with the big boys. It's with the big guns. And so let's see this here in verses 1 and 2. We see the confrontation from those coming up from Jerusalem. It says here in chapter 15, verse 1, then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. I mean, it doesn't sound like a big deal to us because we're like, what's the big deal with that? Well, first of all, these people are considered the authority. They're coming from Jerusalem. These are the main guys. They're part of the Sanhedrin. They're coming up and they're looking for ways where they can somehow not only judge the teaching of Christ. They want to somehow dissolve his popularity and his impact on the people because Christ is having a tremendous effect in the people in Galilee. His popularity, as I mentioned last time, is at its zenith. And so our Lord Jesus comes in there and he's preaching the word and he's casting out demons. We know that he's already been rejected by the local Pharisees, the local Sanhedrin. They bring these other guys in. Maybe they can have more of an impact to discredit him. And so they come to him and they find fault with him. Now listen to what they're accusing him of. They come to him and they say, why are your disciples, which is another way of saying, why are you teaching them this? Why are you teaching your disciples to break the tradition of the elders? Don't you realize that is sacred to us? In fact, the tradition of the elders was so sacred to the Sanhedrin, it is more sacred than the scripture itself. And this is what Christ is combating all through the scripture. You see in chapter 5, all the way to chapter 7 of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, he is continually dissolving and destroying the false teaching of the rabbis. This is what you've been taught, but this is what I say to you. And we learn that when you talk to the Jews at that time, it was an apostate religion. And so Christ is now confronted by them, which is interesting. And he says, why are you teaching your disciples to reject the traditions of the elders? By the way, the tradition of the elders was not written down. It was, at this time, it was given verbally and orally. And later on, we learn by the second century, it was called the Mishnah. And so we learn here that this was given only traditionally and orally. And again, it's the tradition of the elders. And here's the problem. Were the disciples eating with dirty hands? Is that the problem? No. Their hands are not dirty. What was the problem then? They were not eating their food by washing their hands in a traditional way. They were not following the ceremonies, the traditions of the elders. Therefore, they were not ceremonially cleansed because of the certain way they would wash. So they were not following their traditions, which is an amazing thing. Go with me to Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. Mark gives us a little more insight here. Mark chapter 4, verses 1, chapter 7, excuse me, verses 1 through 4. Mark 7, 1 through 4. This is so sad, beloved, because instead of holding to the pure and sacred word of the living God, they had over centuries rabbis who had these weird interpretations of scriptures, and they added precepts upon precepts that were not of God but of men, and traditions. And really what happened was the traditions began to now outweigh the very word of God, and even began to transcend it when it came to its teaching and its doctrine, and held more sacred. Mark chapter 7 verse 1 through 4 says, "And the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled," that is with unwashed hands, "they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in" what? "In a special way, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups and pitchers and copper vessels and couches." Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" In other words, they're not conforming to our rules and regulations and our oral traditions. Why aren't your disciples conforming to our ways? Because Jesus says they're not from you. And we're not here to conform to you. And so we learn here that Christ does not want them to conform to foolishness. And so they're coming to Jesus and they're saying, "Why? Holding this to be sacred." And so, beloved, Christ is accused of teaching his disciples of rejecting the elders' traditions. Now, are traditions bad? No, not necessarily. Only when it causes you to focus more on the tradition than the very word of God. Only if it causes you to violate the very word of God. Certain traditions actually are to remind you. In fact, coming on Sunday morning is a tradition, isn't it? So the certain traditions are to help you to have a closer walk with God and to remind you of the Word of God and to draw near to God. But when it violates the very Word of God and draws you away from God's truth and your love from the Lord, there's something wrong. And so we see here that these men are so concerned about their traditions. Go with me to Matthew chapter 23. What does Jesus call these folks? You know already. You have to understand, beloved, these are religious men. These are self-righteous men who believe that they're going to heaven based on their own righteousness, based on their own good works, somehow that they're meriting eternal life, and God owes them heaven or the kingdom of heaven. God owes them nothing. Matthew chapter 23, look at verses 1 through 5. Jesus simply calls them out. We'll jump from 5 to verse 23. Look at verses 1 through 5. Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. Matthew 23 says this: "Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all the works they do to be" what? "To be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments." Everything they do is all for show. It's for others to see, and it's all external. Beloved, please understand this. God looks at our heart. And when it comes to the way we deal with the Lord, it begins with the sincerity of our soul and heart. And these folks, they're all about the external. Look at verse 23. Jump down to verse 23. He says, "Woe to you." That's condemnation, by the way. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides to strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees first cleanse what? The inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You know, beloved, we can fool other people. God looks at our heart. God looks at our heart, beloved. And even now, God looks at your heart. And you need to ask yourself, why am I here? Am I here because I want God to speak to my heart and I want to change? Why are you here? And so, beloved, you and I always have to check our heart, because it's so easy to fall into this hypocrisy. It's so easy to go through the motions, to go to church, to say your little prayers and maybe even read your Bible. But are you doing it from your heart because you love God? And so, beloved, look at these things. We can go through the motions, but God wants us to love Him. He wants our heart. Go with me to 1 Samuel. Remember this story? Remember, Saul had sinned against the Lord. He did not destroy all the Amalekites the way the Lord told him. God was testing Saul, and Saul failed to obey the Lord fully. And so the Lord was going to choose for him another man. 1 Samuel chapter 16, go with me in the Old Testament. And this is so vital. It's amazing how people think that somehow traditions and going through the motions and doing certain things is going to please God, but God looks at the heart. What brings value to everything that we do, beloved, is our love for God. Do you understand that? You can do the most noblest thing. You can come up here and preach the word, but if you're preaching the word for your own glory, you're wrong. Everything that we do should be because we love the Lord. And we love His people. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. God had rejected Saul and was looking for a man after His own heart. What does that look like? Well, we have to study the scripture. Listen to what it says here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Because He loved Saul. He anointed Saul, the first king of Israel. Seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill your horn with oil, then go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. The guy's a maniac. I mean, he is. He's a real egomaniac. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you should do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, which shows you they had the fear of God. And said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab. This is David's older brother, and that guy was good looking. He looked strong, he looked young, he looked healthy. This guy looked like the next king of Israel. He looked good to Samuel. That must be the one, Samuel. Well, what does it say? So it was when they came that they looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. And here is the point, beloved. For the Lord does not see a man, see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Beloved, that's the way it is even today. You might look good, you might have the Christianese and everything else, but where is your heart? Do you love Christ? Do you serve Him? Are you living for Him? Are you here because you want to hear from Him? Beloved, it's all about your love for the Lord. And here, you know, this guy looked good. It doesn't matter what people think. What they see is what God sees. Even Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, it really doesn't matter to me very much that you're judging me because they were doing that. Because the truth is, it's what the Lord says. He's the final judge. And beloved, it's so important that we understand that God looks at our heart. And He looks for those who love Him. And here is our Lord Jesus being confronted by these religious people who do not even know the Lord, but somehow are believing that they're earning their salvation by keeping the traditions of the elders, and they're upset that Jesus, being a rabbi, is not following their traditions. And the question really is, why are you teaching your disciples to reject the tradition of the elders? Because Jesus is a higher authority. And so our Lord Jesus is not teaching them to follow those traditions. So beloved, again, God looks at the heart. Be careful. Be careful, because sometimes, you know, we go through the motions, and I was brought up in a Christian home, and there are times where I didn't want to go to church. It was boring. But I had to go, you know, my parents made me go, and it was a habit, and it was kind of a ritual you would go through. But have you lost your love for the Lord? Have you lost your zeal for Christ? Do you remember the time when you first got saved, how on fire you were for the Lord? How much you loved the Lord that you couldn't tell to share with other people your love for Christ? Remember that? What happened to that? Somehow we hit a plateau, didn't we? We had a plateau. It's like no longer fresh anymore. It's no longer, you know, the way it was before. We're no longer on fire the way we were. Beloved, please, you need to cry out to God and ask Him, Lord, give me that fire. Give me that zeal. Lord, help me to love You with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you know what? He will. He will. And so, beloved, don't lose your first love. But you and I, we need to be on fire and in love with Christ. We need to fall in love with Christ all over again, don't we? Well, we get so busy, don't we? We get so busy and we get caught up with work and school and everything. And sometimes it just becomes just a habit. Oh, I'm going to church again, and, you know, that's nice. And I'm going to say my little prayers before I eat dinner or whatever. Where's the fire? Where's the fire? And it can happen. With these folks, they didn't know the Lord in the beginning. With us, we know the Lord. And we love the Lord. But we need that fire rekindled, don't we? And so our Lord Jesus turns the table on these people. By the way, these people are considered the authority. They come to Christ. They confront Him regarding the traditions. And so Jesus comes back to them in verse 2. Why do your disciples, see that in verse 2? I'm sorry, verse 3. And He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? And I'm sure they're shocked, you know. And clearly they're like wondering, what are you talking about? He's talking about the fifth commandment. And let me tell you, they know they're being hypocrites. One thing about a hypocrite, you don't have to tell them the hypocrite. They already know. They know this. And this has to do with their greed. These people are all about showmanship, external, you know, looking good to others. But the Lord now says, I know what you're doing. And it comes to their greed. They're all about greed. They're all about self-glory. And so Jesus turns the tables on them. Why do you also transgress, using the very same words, the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. See how important that is? To honor your father and your mother? You need to honor them, you need to love them, you need to respect them, yes, you even need to support them. Verse 5, but you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God's carbon. You see, the greed there. When their mother and father needed some help, they're like, well, you know, everything that I have is dedicated to God. And then somehow they keep it themselves and they don't give to their mother and father. They don't honor them. And so the Lord says, verse 6, then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. You know why? They're saying, well, if you make a vow to God, you have to keep that vow. And if you're making a vow to God that everything that you have, it now belongs to God, you can no longer now support or help your mother and father. And yet somehow they got out of that vow later on. But as soon as the parents ask for help, oh, no, I made a vow to God. This belongs to God. I can't give it to you. And so the Lord is just calling them out. So Christ turns the tables on the Pharisees on their rejecting the very word of God when it comes to honoring their mother and father. Man's teaching is contradicting God's mandates. Over and over again, we see that. And beloved, understand this. When it comes to man's laws, when it comes to man's authority, if it contradicts the very word of God, you are commanded to obey God rather than man. We see this over and over again in the book of Acts. Go with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Remember this? Jesus had already resurrected. He already had given the Holy Spirit, had come down. We learned that Peter and John were arrested. They healed this man that was crippled for 40 years. At the beautiful gate, they began to preach the word of God. Now they're arrested. They stood before the Sanhedrin. Verse 3 of Acts chapter 4. They laid hands on them. Put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed. And the number of men came to be about 5,000. Can you imagine? And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. These are the same people that crucified Jesus. And when they had set them in their midst and asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is a stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. I mean, that's powerful, isn't it? You're not going to be saved under any religion or any other name, only Jesus. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could not say anything against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a noble miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. What should they do? Repent. Repent and trust in Christ. Well, they're not going to do that. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. That from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Remember Peter who was frightened? That little rabbit turned into a lion. What does Peter say? Verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. Beloved, we are to obey God rather than men. And that's the bottom line. The final authority is God's clear revelation. Be careful when people teach you certain things. Understand that there must be a clear teaching in the Word of God for what we do and what we say. And like I said, certain traditions are fine, but be very, very careful. Because it can draw you away from God's truth. Acts chapter 5, go with me there. We find that the 12 are arrested. Acts chapter 5, look at verse 26. Once again, we find that the apostles, this time it's all of them, are standing before the same people, the same council. Acts chapter 5, verse 26. Because they were preaching the name of Christ. Acts 5:26 says, then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, and they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, didn't we just tell you in chapter 4? Because it's no chapters. Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? What's wrong with you guys? Are you guys sick? Didn't we just command you not to teach in this name? Don't you realize we can take your life? And they did. They had power of life and death. Do we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. They're only speaking the truth. But Peter, once again, and the other apostles answered and said, what did they say? Anything new? We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious. And what did they do? They plotted to kill them. Now, why am I saying this? Because Jesus is telling these people from the Sanhedrin that they're holding up their traditions of men and they're violating the commandments of God. They're honoring man's word above God's word. They have a very low view of God's scripture and a very high view of man's teaching. Be careful with that. God's word is our final authority, beloved. That's why we preach sola scriptura, right? The scripture alone. Only the scripture. That is our authority. I'm not the authority. The Word of God is the authority. This church is not the authority. It's the Word of God. And if we contradict the Word of God, I'm wrong and the Scripture is right. This is our authority, beloved. And so we have to be very careful because there are people out there that they want to please men. And that's what these people are all about. We see that in Galatians 1 where Paul himself, go with me to Galatians 1, Paul talks about his gospel, and Paul says, when it comes to my gospel, I was not given this gospel by men. I was given it directly by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so he's writing to the Galatians. Really, it's a region, South Galatia, where it has many churches there. And he's just shocked that they're beginning to turn into a to trust a different gospel. which there really isn't. There's only one gospel. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, Him crucified, buried, resurrected the third day. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 3. He says in chapter 1, verse 6 of Galatians, I marvel, he says, to the churches in Galatia, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in grace and the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And so Paul makes it very, very emphatic, verse 8 and 9. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. In other words, let his soul be damned forever. Verse 9. As we have said before, in case you didn't get it the first time, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Now, this is the point I want to make here. Paul says, Do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondslave of Christ. Beloved, we're not here to please men. Now, understand this. You have a job. You have a boss. Yeah, you want to do the best job that you can do. You look at Joseph. He was a great servant. But I want you to understand this, that everything you do should be for Christ. If you're an employee and you have a boss, you're to serve the Lord in that job, right? Do your best and serve the Lord. But when it comes to violating God's scripture and violating the convictions of scripture that God has given you, you can't do that. We must obey God more than men. And there are great men, great people that lived and were great orators and but understand that God's word is our final authority. And so we really have to think about that. Remember that our final authority, and let me just say this, my final authority is not my opinion. It's not my feelings. It's not my heart. It's not even my logic, but it's the clear revelation of God. You understand that? It's not my feelings, not my opinion. It's not following my heart. It's God's clear revelation. This is the final authority. And you have to hold to that. Otherwise, if you're going to follow your emotions, you know, Hollywood says follow your heart, right? What does the Bible say about a person that does that in Proverbs? A fool follows his heart. But he that walks wisely will be delivered. You don't follow your heart. You don't trust your heart because your heart is deceitful. Right? Desperately sick. You might say, Pastor, I'm a new creation. Yes, you are. But your heart still, it'll lead you astray. We study the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. We obey the Word of God. You don't follow your heart. Why do you think we're in such trouble today, right? Everybody's following their heart, right? Following the heart. Oh, today I don't feel like a boy. I feel like a girl. What is that about? And they want everybody to follow their own delusion. I don't think so. We have to, you know, there's clear science there, right? Follow your heart. Obey the word. A lot of confusion today because everyone's following their heart, right? We must obey the word of God and follow the word of God. This is our authority. Go back with me to Matthew 15. So we see here that the scribes and the Pharisees are confronting Jesus because they're saying, why are you teaching your disciples these things? To reject the tradition of the elders. These are sacred to us. Well, they're not sacred to Jesus. And they're not the word of God. And this is clear error on their part. So, no. They're the new wine, right? They're the new wineskins. And Jesus is giving them the new wine, which is his word. Not old wineskins. And so they're asking Jesus, why is he doing this? Well, the Lord says, well, first of all, why are you transgressing the very word of God? Because of your traditions. I mean, aren't you guys supposed to be the gatekeepers of God's truth? Aren't you supposed to be the men of God that stand for the Word of God, and yet you're breaking the Word of God? What does he say to them? He says, you hypocrites. And he says it very strongly, right? Verse 7. Hypocrites. Just pretenders. That's what they are. Charlatans, pretenders. What are they pretending to be? They are pretending to be men of God who love the Lord and are zealous for God's truth, and they're a bunch of liars. That's what they are. And so Jesus calls them out. You're a bunch of liars. You're a bunch of pretenders. First of all, they don't know God. And number two, they don't love God. They don't love God. When I see a person that claims to know the Lord, and yet I don't see that they love the Lord, how do you know when a person loves the Lord? You can tell by their obedience. Isn't that true? Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The scale that weighs your love for God is your obedience to God, to the Scripture. And when a person claims to be a Christian, they claim to love the Lord, and yet you see blatant disobedience to the Word of God, they're a liar. Now, I'm not saying that. The Word of God is saying that. You might say, Pastor, that's strong. Well, we'll look at some Scripture. When a person claims that they know God and they walk in darkness, they are a liar and a pretender. And that's what we see here. These people are in darkness, deep darkness. They think that somehow they can earn their own righteousness. They don't even know God and His holiness or the sacrifice that He has given. They don't even know Christ. So we learn that Jesus, these people stand in the beginning as condemning Jesus, judging Jesus and what He's doing with His disciples. Jesus turns around and stands and judges them and gives them a final verdict. So here's Christ. He stands as judge over these self-righteous, religious men. And He hands down His verdict and He says, you are hypocrites. One's pretending to please and honor God, but it's all talk. They have no love for God. And they pretended to know Him. They didn't know Him at all. I hope you're not a pretender. I hope you truly know the Lord. I hope that you have surrendered your life to Christ, that you have repented of your sin, and you're trusting in Christ with all your heart. And you're not just pretending. Because you're going to stand before Christ one day. It might be sooner than you expect. And so, beloved, that's going to happen. And there's so many pretenders today. Go with me to Matthew 7. You guys know this passage already, but it's so vital that we go back to it, because so many religious people that believe that they're right with God. And I told you this, when we go out witnessing, the most difficult people to go and share the gospel with and to call to repentance are religious people. Because they're like, I'm good. I go to this church. I do this. I'm good. And I'm like, you're not good. You're a sinner. You're trusting a religion. You're trusting in good works. You're trusting in your own righteousness. You're not trusting in Christ alone. So they're not good. Oh boy, they hate that. I'm not a sinner like other people. Yes, you are. You are a sinner. And boy, let me tell you, they're so difficult because they're believing in a lie. Matthew 7, verse 15. What does Jesus say? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, what are they? Ravenous wolves. They're in it for themselves to get what they can get. Money, immorality, glory. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, what? Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But who will? He who does the will of my Father in heaven. Does that mean you're going to heaven by good works? No. This is the evidence of a regenerate life. This is the evidence of a person who's truly born again and has surrendered their life to Jesus Christ, has trusted in Christ, and repented of their sin. Why? What's the evidence? They're doing the will of the Father, right? But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, that's the evidence of a genuine conversion. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, very religious, right? And done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. They were religious. They went to church every Sunday. They were the ones in the choir. They were the ones there first, right? I never knew you. Depart from me. And here it is. You who practice lawlessness. You see, they practice lawlessness. They live a double life. They had one life in the church and another life outside of the church. There was not genuine repentance. Are you living a double life? Are you living one way in the church and everybody sees this life that you're living and another life outside at your job or at school? Are you living a double life? That's being a hypocrite. You need to be who you are. If you're not saved, get saved. Surrender your life to Christ. And if you are saved, people around you need to see that you love Christ and you're committed to Him. Here Jesus calls them out. You're practicing lawlessness. You thought Jesus didn't see that? This person never truly repented. And so that's what's going on, beloved. And these people, they're just hypocrites. And Jesus says, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Are you the same person here in church as you are at your job? Are you the same person here as you are at home? Or are there three different people, right? Well, I behave one way at church, and I behave another way at my job, and then I behave another way at school, another way at home. Yeah, I'm all these different people. What is that? That's a pretender. That's a pretender. You need to be who you are. And you need to be. We need to be honest with ourselves and before God, right? Stop pretending. Be honest. If you're not saved, then you need to surrender to Christ. Stop acting like you are saved and surrender. True worship begins with God's truth and a sincere heart. It does. And so, beloved, we have to be honest with ourselves. Matthew 21. Go with me there. This is the Lord talking about the Pharisees. These people are supposed to be those that know God and love God and obey God. They're not doing any one of those. Matthew 21, verse 28. We see that our Lord Jesus gives a really short parable of two sons. Remember that? You thought there were more, only one parable of two sons? Here's another parable of two sons. Matthew 21, verse 28 to 32. Matthew 21, verse 28. But what do you think? A man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And I know you fathers, you know this, right? And he said, I will not. But afterward, what happened? He regretted it and he went. He repented. He repented. And he obeyed. Then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. See, they, at first they rejected God's word, but then they regretted it. They repented and they got right with God. But these folks that were religious, they gave the Lord lip service, right? I'll go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And they didn't go. They didn't repent. And so, beloved, you and I, we can't give God lip service. God looks at our heart and He sees the way we act and behave. You know, I'm talking about the time that you're alone by yourself. When no other Christians are around you. Only you know if you're truly saved. Go with me to 1 John. 1 John. Go with me there. What does the Word of God say about those who claim to be Christians and are not? Well, it's evident. If you love the Lord Jesus, that's going to be very evident. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. John writes, "This is a message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is what? God's light. God is holy. God is pure light. He's perfect. He's righteous. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, not even a speck. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, what are we? We're liars. We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." So if we are walking in darkness and yet we're claiming to everybody that we know Jesus and we're not walking in the light, we're lying. Look at chapter 2. Jump over to chapter 2 of 1 John. Look at verses 3 and 6. Chapter 2, verse 3. "Now by this we know that we know Him, if we do what?" See obedience? See the obedience there? "If we keep His commandments." If you're not obeying the Lord and your lifestyle is one of disobedience to God, you're not saved. I'm not saying a perfect life, okay? I'm not saying a perfect life. But if you're living a consistent life where you're constantly disobeying the Lord over and over and over again, and that's your lifestyle, you're not saved. You're being deceived. But if your heart is, "Because I love the Lord, I want to obey the Lord," and yet you keep falling short and it grieves your heart and you keep confessing and getting right with God, that's different. Our sin should grieve our hearts. This is a person that clearly knows he's disobeying the Lord and doesn't care. And yet he wants to carry the facade that he's a Christian. So he says, "I know Him and does not keep His commandments." He's a liar. That's what John says. "And the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps His word truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked." Now, am I saying that you're going to be sinless? I'm not saying that. But let me ask you something. What is the deep desire of your heart? Is it to know the Lord and to be with the Lord? Or is it your own glory, your own desires? You know, is it to exalt yourself? Who are you living for? You know, you can't serve two masters, right? And so, beloved, we need to understand this. These people, they had one master. It was themselves. And they didn't love the Lord. And they had everybody else fooled. You know, the Jewish people, when Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, and they said, "Unless your righteousness surpasses the Pharisees," they're like, "What are you saying? These are the most righteous people." Yeah, that's what you think. But on the inside, they're full of dead man's bones. What does God see when He looks into your heart? Does He see a heart that loves Him? Does He see a heart that really loves Him? Or does He see a heart that it loves itself? Please think about these things, beloved. Because we learn here that if we say that we love the Lord and we're Christians and yet we walk in darkness, there is something wrong and inconsistent. Can you honestly say, "Pastor, I'm living my life to honor Christ. And it's not a perfect life. I stumble, and guess what? Welcome to the club." We all stumble. But that's the direction we're on, and that's the road we're on, and it's one to honor Christ. But if you're not on that road, maybe you're on the road to honor yourself, there's a problem. You need to be living your life to honor Christ. Are you walking that walk? So please understand this. This is so important because I want you to be saved. I want to see everybody walking with the Lord and on fire. Let me just close with this. Our Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, He said, Why do you call me Lord, Lord? He says, why do you call me Lord? And do not do the things which I say. Because the word Lord is the same as master. Why do you call me master and you don't do what I'm asking you to do? It's all just lip service. If you're calling Jesus Lord. Are you one of those people who call Jesus Lord and yet you don't obey Him? Are you one of those? Then my friend, you're self-deceived. May the Lord help us. These Pharisees, they were so self-deceived. They were so religious. They were faithful members of the Sanhedrin. They were meticulous when it came to the minutiae of the traditions of the elders. But they were so lost. They were lost. They didn't know God. They didn't love God. Everything that they did that was semi-righteousness was to somehow earn brownie points. Beloved, the reason why you and I should obey the Lord is because we love Him. Not because we're going to earn anything. They thought somehow they can earn their own righteousness. Can't earn it. It's a gift of God. Not of works lest any man should boast. These people did not know God, nor did they recognize their own Messiah. They didn't recognize Christ, the Son of David, the King of Israel, the divine Son of God. They had no love for God. They had no love for God's Son. Let me ask you a very personal question. Are you lost? Think about this. Are you lost? Are you sure that if you died today that you would go and be with the Lord? Or you're not sure? You're not sure. Maybe you're lost like these people. These people, I don't doubt that they were probably sincere. But here Jesus says, look, you're pretenders because they know that that tradition violated the word of God. They didn't care. If you are lost, I want you to listen to four things. Number one, understand that God is holy. He is perfect. He is righteous. And the same God that brings healing as Jesus did is the same Lord Jesus that condemns. You understand that? God is not going to compromise His holiness and His righteousness. He's going to condemn sinners and most people are going to hell. Did you know that most people are going to hell through religion than any other way? So the same God that is merciful and compassionate is the same God that will send sinners to hell. The truth is every single person born, with the exception of Jesus, has broken God's law. If a person says, I haven't sinned, I haven't broken God's law, then they're either liars or they're ignorant because they have. We're sinners. And if God gives you and I what we deserve, what happens to us? We go to hell. If God gives us what we deserve, I don't want God to give me justice, right? Every sinner deserves to go to hell. That's just the truth. That's justice. But praise God, He's a God of mercy. And because He's a God of mercy, He sent His perfect divine Son into this world to do what? Save sinners. Jesus lived a sinless life. He died as a sin offering for sinners. The third day, Christ resurrected from the dead in a body, in a resurrected body. What is God's requirement of us, of every sinner? To repent and to trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Have you done that? Or are you being a pretender? Is that what you are, a pretender? You have this facade with everybody else, but what about when you stand before Almighty God? There's no pretending anymore. It's so much easier just to be who you are, isn't it? It's so much easier just to be honest with yourself. And if you're not saved, be honest and say, Lord, I'm not saved. cry out to Christ. Ask Him to save you. What does the Word of God say? For whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. What are they calling on Him for? For salvation. For forgiveness. Have you cried out to the Lord? I know some of you say, well, Pastor, I do believe. But cry out to God. Make absolutely certain that you truly belong to the Lord. Cry out to Him. That's what I did as a young boy. I wanted to make sure. That scared me about hell. I'm like, Lord, I want to make sure that when I die, I'll go and be with you forever. Make sure. Don't take any chances. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your precious word. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, if there's just religious people here, I pray, dear Father, that we would examine our hearts. Dear Father, I just pray. Lord, I know that we fall short and I know that we don't live perfect lives, but Lord, I pray. Lord, if there's one person that is not saved, that they'll cry out to Jesus for His forgiveness, for salvation. For there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Lord, it's not a religion. It's Jesus, God's divine Son, who died for us. And Lord, I just pray for salvation for those who do not know you. And now, Lord, we ask you to bless us. And we ask, dear Father, that your word, that we'll take it with us. And Lord, help us to think about what's been shared this morning. And these things we beseech you and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.